everyone, and welcome back. We're ready to take another deep dive into post-election America.
Diving right in.
Yeah, definitely. Today, our source material is a single article from electoralvote.com.
Okay.
From November 22nd, so very, very recent. And of course, we're assuming that you've been following the election, so we don't need to rehash all the, you know,
basics.
We're going to get right down into some of the more interesting stuff, like the drama with Trump's cabinet picks and some of the unexpected congressional races, and even a little bit of a media shakeup with MSNBC.
Yeah, this is a really interesting period because we're seeing sort of the power struggle unfold already, even before the election is fully certified.
Oh, for sure. And right off the bat, the breaking news is that Matt Gaetz has withdrawn his nomination for attorney general.
Wow.
Now, a withdrawn nomination isn't exactly unheard of.
Right.
But the speed of this one is really raising eyebrows.
Yeah, the article highlights three main reasons for this.
Okay.
Gaetz' lack of experience or such a high-level position, the ongoing sexual misconduct allegations against him, and frankly, his unpopularity among many in Congress, even within his own party.
Yeah, and the article points out that his nomination actually crashed and burned faster than any other in modern history, less than 7 weeks from nominee to... Nope, never mind.
Wow.
To put that in perspective, George W. Bush's nominee, Linda Chavez, back in 2001, held on for like almost twice as long before withdrawing.
Oh, wow.
So is this rapid fire rejection saying something about Trump's control over the Senate, or is it more about Gaetz himself?
I think that is the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
It might signal that Republican senators are feeling a little more emboldened this time around to push back against Trump.
Okay.
They certainly weren't afraid to defy him on this nomination.
Yeah.
Now, whether that is a genuine limit to Trump's power or just a strategic move to avoid a messy confirmation battle remains to be seen.
And to add fuel to the fire here, Trump wasted no time in replacing Gaetz with Pam Bondi.
Oh, interesting.
The former Florida attorney general. Now, while she's undoubtedly more qualified on paper, Bondi brings her own set of baggage to the table.
Yeah, the article mentions concerns about her past, particularly a possible quid pro quo situation where Trump donated to her campaign and she subsequently chose not to pursue a case against Trump University.
So basically a favor for a favor.
Exactly. Which always raises ethical questions.
For sure. For sure. So one controversial figure out another potentially problematic one.
And
it makes you wonder what is Gaetz going to do next?
Right. What is next for Matt Gaetz?
Is he going to try to, you know, slink back into the House, make a play for Marco Rubio's Senate seat, or maybe join the ranks of all the, you know, conservative media pundits.
Yeah, the article throws out a few possibilities there. A House return, although his resignation letter might complicate that a bit.
Yeah.
Challenging Rubio, finding a nice, comfortable niche in right-wing media.
Yeah.
He's ambitious.
Yeah.
And he's definitely not going away quietly.
Well, this whole situation with Gaetz has really put a spotlight on the often turbulent world of cabinet nominations.
Yeah.
And speaking of turbulence, the article highlights a few other Trump nominees who might be facing an uphill battle for confirmation.
Oh, really?
You know, it feels like we've been seeing more and more cabinet picks either rejected or withdrawing altogether in recent years.
You're right. There's definitely been a trend of increased scrutiny and resistance to cabinet nominations.
Yeah.
From both sides of the aisle, actually.
Yeah.
But the article names four individuals that are particularly vulnerable. Pete Hegseth for Secretary of Defense.
Oh, wow.
Known for his often inflammatory and sexist views and now facing sexual assault allegations as well.
Wow.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for HHS.
Oh, wow.
Who has made some, let's say, controversial claims about vaccines and is openly pro-choice, putting him at odds with many Republicans.
Yeah.
Tulsi Gabbard for DNI, whose past ties to Russia and isolationist views have raised some eyebrows. And finally, Linda McMahon for Secretary of Education, whose lack of experience and involvement in a lawsuit related to child sexual abuse at the WWE have drawn criticism.
And to make matters even more volatile, the article states that these damaging revelations about these nominees surfaced just within the last 24 hours.
It certainly adds another layer of complexity to an already unpredictable situation.
Oh, yeah. Before we move on, let's just quickly run through a few other intriguing appointments that caught my eye.
Okay.
Russ Vought, the mastermind behind Project 2025, a controversial plan to drastically shrink the federal government, will be heading the OMB. Talk show host and firebrand Dan Bongino is potentially being tapped to lead the Secret Service.
Oh, wow.
And Pete Hoekstra, who has a rather rocky history with Canada, has been named the new ambassador to our northern neighbors.
I find the Vought appointment particularly intriguing.
Yeah.
You may recall that during his campaign, Trump claimed to have no knowledge of Project 2025.
Right.
Yet here he is appointing its architect to a crucial budgetary role.
Yeah, the irony is pretty thick there.
It's a head-scratcher for sure.
It certainly makes you wonder about the true motivations behind these appointments, doesn't it?
It does.
All right, so let's shift gears now from the behind-the-scenes drama of cabinet nominations to the election results themselves.
Right.
The article mentions Bob Casey conceding in the Pennsylvania Senate race, which was...
A bit of a shock.
Yeah, to say the least.
Casey's loss to a relatively unknown and inexperienced candidate was definitely an upset, and it underscores the difficult environment Democrats faced in this election cycle.
Right.
And it raises questions about Casey's future in politics.
Yeah, at 64, he might not have a ton of options left.
Yeah.
Speaking of tight races, let's turn our attention to the House of Representatives, where things are still being sorted out.
Okay.
The article says that the race in Alaska has been called for Nick Begich III, who defeated incumbent Mary Pultola.
Okay.
But three races are still too close to call. IA-01, CA-13, and CA-45.
And based on the latest numbers, IA-01 is leaning Republican, CA-13 is a complete toss-up, and CA-45 is likely to go to the Democrat. If these predictions hold, the final House makeup will be almost identical to the previous one.
So all that campaigning, all those debates, and we end up with basically a near stalemate.
A lot of change and upheaval for a result that essentially maintains the status quo.
Now let's dive into a bit of media intrigue.
Okay.
The article mentions that Morning Joe on MSNBC is experiencing a ratings dip after the host's recent visit to Mar-a-Lago.
Yes, and this ratings dip coincides with some major shakeups happening behind the scenes at MSNBC.
Oh, really?
Comcast, their parent company, is spinning off several of its cable networks, including MSNBC, into a separate company.
Okay.
The potential problem here is that MSNBC relies heavily on resources from NBC News,
okay,
which will remain under Comcast's umbrella.
So why should we care about MSNBC's corporate woes?
Well, this move raises an important question about MSNBC's viability as an independent entity.
Uh-huh.
Can it survive and thrive without that close partnership with NBC News?
Right.
They might need to merge with another media company to remain competitive, and that's where things could get really interesting.
Are you suggesting that Trump, who has a long and contentious history with MSNBC, might use his power to block a potential merger that the network needs to survive?
It might seem far-fetched, but consider this. Trump has shown a willingness to interfere in the media landscape before.
Like how?
Well, remember the AT&T Time Warner merger that was blocked during his first term?
Oh, right, yeah.
The possibility of him using his influence to thwart MSNBC's attempts to stay afloat can't be completely dismissed.
Now that you mention it, it does raise some concerns.
Yeah.
You know, if Trump could leverage his power to influence the media landscape, that would have serious implications for freedom of the press.
It would.
Does this news change your view of MSNBC or its hosts at all?
That's a question each viewer will have to grapple with on their own.
Yeah.
But it's undeniable that this development adds a layer of complexity and uncertainty to the future of MSNBC and its role in the media ecosystem.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground in this first part of our deep dive.
We have.
We've seen the behind-the-scenes drama of cabinet nominations,
mm-hmm.
the lingering uncertainty of some close congressional races, and the potential threat to MSNBC's future.
We've seen the power dynamics at play between Trump and his nominees,
yeah,
the unpredictable nature of politics, and the lingering questions about various political figures' futures.
Right.
It's a fascinating glimpse into the inner workings of power and influence in the aftermath of a hard-fought election.
And we'll be unpacking even more insights in the next part of our deep dive.
You know, picking up where we left off, I thought it was kind of poignant how the article used song titles to illustrate the news this week.
Ah, yes, the I Read the News Today, Oh Boy segment.
Right.
I always enjoy how it weaves music into the political landscape.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's lighthearted, other times, well, not so much.
Yeah. This week's theme was definitely on the somber side. All the headlines use song titles by artists who were tragically shot and killed.
It is a sobering thought.
It is.
But I have to say, I'm consistently impressed by the creativity and the attention to detail in these headlines.
Yeah.
It's a subtle way to add an extra layer of meaning to the news.
Indeed. For example, using Pantera's Cemetery Gates for the segment on Trump's cabinet appointments.
Right.
Is quite fitting.
That's a great catch.
Given the controversies and potential downfalls we just discussed.
Yeah, it adds a layer of foreshadowing and a bit of dark humor, which Less face is often appropriate when talking about
Oh, maybe
politics.
not appropriate.
Now, on a lighter note, let's dive into the Schadenfreude and Freudenfreude segments,
Okay.
which always offer a mix of amusement and inspiration.
Right.
This week, the article focused on Kari Lake's political misfortunes and the inspiring protests led by Hanarawiti Maipi Clark, the youngest MP in New Zealand.
Kari Lake's story is a classic cautionary tale of political miscalculation.
Right.
Her unwavering loyalty to Trump, which she wore as a badge of honor, ultimately backfired.
Yeah.
She lost her Senate bid and now seems to be on the outs with the very man she so vehemently championed.
It does make you wonder if there's a breaking point even for someone like Trump when it comes to loyalty.
Right.
Does he value it at all, or is it purely transactional?
Yeah.
Lake's experience suggests it might be the latter.
It's hard to say for certain what motivates someone like Trump.
Right.
But Lake's story highlights the potential pitfalls of hitching your wagon too closely to a single powerful figure.
Yeah, spread the risk, as they say.
Exactly.
Now, shifting gears to a story that is more inspiring, Hanarawiti Maipi Clark's protest against the Indigenous Treaty Bill was remarkable.
It was.
It's incredible to see someone so young standing up for their beliefs and challenging the status quo.
Absolutely. And while her protest may not have stopped the bill from passing,
right,
it captured international attention and brought the ongoing struggle for Indigenous rights in New Zealand to the forefront.
Right. It's a reminder that age is no barrier to activism and leadership.
It is.
What do you think she'll accomplish next?
Her courage and eloquence suggest a bright future and potential for leadership on a global scale.
I completely agree. She's definitely one to watch. So taking a step back, what can we glean from all of this?
Well, this week's deep dive has revealed a blend of darkness and light, disappointment and hope.
Yeah.
It's a potent reminder of the complexities of the political landscape and the individuals who navigate it.
The contrast between these stories is striking.
It is.
On one hand, we see the dangers of unchecked ambition and the potential for betrayal in the pursuit of power, as Kari Lake's experience demonstrates.
Right.
On the other hand, we witness the emergence of a young leader who, despite facing defeat, inspires with her courage and unwavering commitment to fighting for a just cause,
yeah,
as exemplified by Hanarawiti Maipi Clark.
It's a powerful reminder that while politics is often about power dynamics, strategic maneuvering, and let's be honest, a fair share of ego,
right,
it's also about the individuals who dare to challenge those dynamics and fight for a better world.
Sometimes they win, sometimes they lose, but the fight itself is often what matters most.
Indeed, we often focus on the big players, the Trumps and the Gateses of the world.
Right.
But it's crucial to remember that change often starts at the grassroots level, with individuals like Maipi Clark, who are willing to stand up and speak truth to power.
Right.
They remind us that even in a world that can feel cynical and self-serving,
yeah,
there are still people who inspire us with their courage and dedication to making a difference.
And that's a thought worth holding on to, especially during these tumultuous times.
It is.
Now let's turn our attention back to the media landscape.
Okay.
We talked earlier about MSNBC's potential troubles with the Comcast spinoff.
Right.
To understand the potential impact of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
We need to delve a bit deeper into the relationship between MSNBC and its parent company.
Okay.
What's at stake here goes beyond ratings dips and corporate maneuvering.
Right.
It touches upon the very core of a free and independent press.
You're absolutely right. When we talk about a potential merger being blocked for political reasons, it raises serious concerns about freedom of the press,
yeah,
and the potential for censorship.
Right.
A free press is vital for a functioning democracy. It acts as a watchdog, holding those in power accountable and providing citizens with the information they need to make informed decisions.
Right.
If a media outlet can be silenced or manipulated for political gain,
yeah,
it undermines the very foundation of a democratic society.
So how vulnerable is MSNBC in this situation?
It's difficult to say for certain.
Yeah.
But the fact that this possibility is even being discussed should be a cause for concern.
Right.
It highlights the precarious position many media outlets find themselves in today, facing financial pressures, political interference, and a rapidly evolving media landscape.
Right.
The stakes are high, not just for MSNBC, but for the future of journalism itself.
This brings us back to that ratings dip after the Morning Joe hosts visited Mar-a-Lago. Some saw it as a sign of viewers pushing back against perceived coziness with Trump. But could it also be interpreted as a canary in the coal mine?
Right.
A warning sign that MSNBC's audience is already wary of the network's future and its potential vulnerability to outside pressures.
It's certainly a possibility. Viewers are becoming increasingly savvy about the forces that shape the media they consume.
Right.
They're aware of the financial pressures, the political biases, and the potential for manipulation. The Morning Joe incident might be a reflection of that heightened awareness, a sign that viewers are paying attention.
Yeah.
And are ready to hold media outlets accountable for their actions and their coverage.
It's a reminder that the relationship between a news organization and its audience is built on trust.
Absolutely. If that trust is eroded, it can be incredibly difficult, if not impossible, to regain.
And in today's fragmented and often polarized media landscape, maintaining that trust is more important than ever.
It is.
But news organizations need to be transparent about their operations, their funding sources, and their editorial decisions.
Right. They need to demonstrate a commitment to accuracy, fairness, and independence if they want to retain the trust of their audience.
Precisely.
This situation with MSNBC underscores a much larger issue that extends beyond any one network or political figure.
Right.
It's about the health and vitality of our democracy, which relies on a free and independent press to function effectively.
I couldn't agree more. A free press is not a partisan issue. It's a fundamental pillar of a democratic society.
Yeah.
It's essential for holding power accountable, for informing the public, and for ensuring that a diversity of voices and perspectives can be heard.
This has been a fascinating and at times unsettling exploration of the media landscape.
It has.
We've seen how corporate decisions, political pressures, and even viewer perceptions can intersect to create a complex and often unpredictable environment for news organizations.
Right.
And we've been reminded that the stakes are incredibly high, not just for the media itself.
Right. But for the very fabric of our democracy. You know, it's amazing how a single article can spark such a wide-ranging conversation.
It is.
You know, we've gone from the nitty-gritty of cabinet appointments to the philosophical underpinnings of a free press.
Right.
All thanks to this piece from electoralvote.com.
It just goes to show how interconnected everything is in the political sphere.
Yeah.
You know, one seemingly isolated event like Matt Gaetz withdrawing his nomination can ripple outwards.
Right.
And touch upon these broader themes of power and loyalty and the very principles that govern our democracy.
And speaking of Gaetz, I'm still thinking about those. I read the news today. Oh, boy, headlines.
Yeah.
Specifically that Pantera reference cemetery Gaetz.
Right.
Such a clever way to foreshadow the potential downfall of some of Trump's cabinet picks.
Mm-hmm.
But it also got me thinking about the other headlines, all featuring songs by musicians who were tragically killed by gun violence.
Yeah.
It's a sobering reminder of this pervasive issue of gun violence in our society and how it can touch even the world of music and entertainment.
It's a powerful use of symbolism there, weaving together these seemingly disparate elements, politics, music, and societal issues,
right,
to create a poignant and thought-provoking commentary.
Yeah, it reminds us that these issues are not isolated. They're interconnected, and they influence one another in really profound ways.
They do.
It's also a reminder that even in a deep dive focused on politics, we can't ignore the broader context in which these events are unfolding.
Right.
Politics doesn't exist in a vacuum.
It doesn't.
It's shaped by social, cultural, and economic forces, and in turn, it shapes those forces.
Absolutely. When we analyze political events, we need to consider the historical, societal, and cultural backdrop against which they're playing out.
Right.
Otherwise, we risk missing the bigger picture, the underlying trends and forces that are driving these events.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the aftermath of the 2024 election, what are the key takeaways we should be mulling over?
Well, we've explored the drama surrounding Trump's cabinet nominations, the lingering questions about the future of figures like Matt Gaetz and Kari Lake, and the potential vulnerability of media outlets like MSNBC.
Right.
In the face of political and economic pressures.
We've seen how power operates both overtly and subtly in the political arena.
We have.
We've witnessed the fickle nature of loyalty and the potential consequences of aligning oneself too closely with a powerful figure like Trump.
Hmm.
And we've been reminded of the essential role a free and independent press plays in a functioning democracy.
It's been a whirlwind of insights and analysis.
It has.
But what I find most striking is this underlying tension between cynicism and hope that seems to permeate every aspect of our current political landscape.
Yeah. You know, on one hand, we see the potential for corruption, manipulation, and the abuse of power.
Right.
On the other hand, we see individuals like Hannah Rowitey, Mipa Clark, who inspire us with their courage, conviction, and commitment to fighting for a more just world.
It's a tension that has always existed in politics, but it feels particularly pronounced in these times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're living through a period of rapid change and upheaval,
right,
which can breed both anxiety and opportunity.
Yeah.
The challenge is to navigate this landscape with a critical eye, a discerning mind, and a heart that remains open to the possibility of progress, even amidst the chaos.
It's a reminder that while we should be wary of the pitfalls and dangers of political power, we shouldn't succumb to cynicism or apathy.
We shouldn't.
We need to stay engaged, informed, and active if we want to shape the future of our democracy and create a world that reflects our values.
The future is never predetermined. It's something we create through our choices, our actions, and our collective will.
Mm-hmm.
The deep dive we've taken today, with all its twists and turns, has highlighted both the challenges and the opportunities that lie ahead.
Right.
It's up to each of us to decide how we'll respond, how we'll engage, and what role we'll play in shaping the world we want to see.
That's a powerful message to end on.
It is.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the post-election landscape. We hope it sparked your curiosity, challenged your assumptions, and left you with some food for thought.
Lots to think about.
Remember, politics is not a spectator sport. It's a dynamic and ever-evolving process that demands our attention, our critical thinking, and our active participation.
It does.
We encourage you to continue exploring, questioning, and engaging with the world around you. And if you have any thoughts or insights you'd like to share about this deep dive, we'd love to hear from you.
We would.
Join the conversation online, and let's keep the dialogue going.